You lot. Do you know what? Me and Sidge, after this pod, we're going to have a discussion about patron suspension.
Yellow cards.
Fantasy Football Show.
Villa Patreons Q&A on a Monday.
Because it's not normally on a Monday?
No.
In a couple of weeks, it'd be on a Tuesday.
Tuesday. Is that when England play on a Monday?
No, that's because it'll be the day England play Wales. That's because you and I are doing a Brazil-Switzerland watch-along that day.
Is it?
Yeah. I ain't recording podcasts when it's 10-1-4-7. It's ridiculous.
Brazil versus Sweden.
Switzerland. Sweden didn't qualify.
It was Brazil versus
Isak's
Sweden.
Isak's not going. Deki's not
Brazil
going.
Brazil versus Sweden. I thought we were watching beach volleyball, but we're watching a football.
You could be watching a rerun of the 1958 final.
Okay.
Do you remember what the score was?
Yeah.
What was the score?
2-1 to Switzerland.
It was 5-2 to Brazil. Do you know what the irony was? It was in Switzerland.
Oh.
What's the first question?
Harbour boy. Who is the best... Okay, let me give you a date stamp. This was actually last Monday. Who is the best FPL player who does not have a World Cup or European European competition, so is least likely to be impacted by fatigue from fixture congestion?
So someone not going to the World Cup and someone whose team doesn't play in European competition.
Miguel Almiron. A Peru, innit? He's Peruvian, isn't he?
Are you on one? He's Paraguayan.
Oh, Paraguayan. South American
either.
Nation that starts with a P. They haven't qualified, have they?
No.
No, so Miguel Almiron doesn't have European football, doesn't have a World Cup. He's flying. He's going to be all right, mate.
I'm not sure how we've ended up with. I think there's six teams qualified from Asian Confederation, only four South Americans, if I remember correctly.
Mad.
That feels wrong to me. Oh, good question.
Miguel Almiron. You've got to think about teams not in Europe. And for the teams not in Europe, Newcastle are the best right now. Maybe Brighton.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking that the main ones there, like Trossard, McAllister and stuff, are going to the World Cup. Danny Welbeck.
Are you having a bubble? You think Danny Welbeck's a better option than Miguel Almiron?
No, obviously not. I suppose... well, do you know what?
And he can't be fatigued. He hasn't played for about 3 years. He's only just turned up about 8 games ago, Almiron.
I mentioned him already. You could throw Isak's name in, couldn't you, potentially?
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I suppose at the moment,
you could say... Is he going to be sick note number two?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
To be honest, I can't really argue with Almiron, actually, to be honest. What about Wilfried Zaha? Okay, moving on.
Rob Pick, safety net feature discussed by Darren. So if you own Haaland and he didn't start, he would automatically be replaced by the next most expensive City player. Was this in the Scottish game or Gaffer game or something he was saying? No, it was in Fan Team or something.
Yeah, it was from last week's pod, wasn't it?
Right. So he would be replaced by the most expensive City player in the same position, i.e. Alvarez in this case.
Right.
It can come back to bite you, though. As if Haaland then came off the bench, you don't get him, you just get the player that starts. Don't think it works for FPL, to be honest, says Rob.
No. Yeah.
Joe Jenkins, I think the blue tick is only white if you're in dark mode. I don't know and I don't care. And they've scrapped that shit anyway now, so...
What is going on there, mate? No, seriously, let's talk about it.
Elon Musk is another guy.
It's fucked
up. It's like he's bored of going to space or creating electric cars. So he's just bought Twitter. And I understand he had to lay out a lot of people. Like, the company's losing money. So it's actually sensible to not lose money. If you're a business, you need to make money. But he laid off loads of people, then realised some of the people that he laid off he needed for the new features and rehired them, and then decided to charge people.
I heard there was something in Ireland.
Loads of advertisers are dropping out.
There was ultimatums given to people who were working on it in Ireland that they had to move to an office in Dublin within a week or something. And obviously a lot of them were like work from home techies and whatnot.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit about work from home, Elon Musk. When everything reopened with Tesla, for example, his policy with the guys was come to the office or fucking find a job somewhere else.
Simple. He's not got, I mean, it feels to me from the outside that he's trying to make his money back as quickly as possible.
Well, it's not his money. Right? He's got investors involved. He hasn't actually got $44 billion or whatever he paid out of his own pocket. But yeah, he's, I think...
Why not, by the way? Is he not rich enough?
No, because he doesn't have it in cash, does he? I don't think he really meant to buy it. I don't think he really thought it would actually happen, because he tried to pull out, didn't he? And then he got forced into buying it. Loads of people are jumping ship at the moment. So.
Do you know his net worth?
$250 billion?
$220 billion US dollars.
Yeah. See, that kind of money, it fluctuates on a day-to-day basis. So
he looks like someone. Who does he look like? He looks like an actor who put on... Not an actor. He looks like a singer who put on some weight. I can't think who.
Donny Osmond.
A little bit. Yeah, that's the one. Donny Osmond. Yeah, why not?
JC, let's say Liverpool gets some wealthy investment. January transfer window rolls around. Between the two of you, you have five blank checks to sign five players. Who are you going to sign to play in what role and why? Reece James, right back.
Wow.
Just pissing off the Liverpool fans.
Disagree with that.
Don't worry. No, I was Kieran, pissed off the Liverpool fans.
Kieran Trippier.
Right back.
Who would you buy?
I'd definitely get a centre back in. Saliba.
Blank check by anyone. To be honest, I would asset strip Manchester City, I think. So like Rodri.
Haaland.
Rodri, De Bruyne, Haaland. Throw Jude Bellingham in and throw Mbappe in. There you go.
Nice. David Hunter, absolute Rondon vibes about Sergio with his moustache, which had to go, but it's coming back now. It started growing. I think by the end of the week it'll be...
I don't think you've done anything there, mate.
No, this is since
you look Friday. Like, you look like you've got an Adam Pritchard's month worth of bum fluff. Sorry, Adam. See you next week,
which
mate.
Which is the other favourite footballing moustache? Who had a good moustache as a footballer? You have to go back to the... If you go back to the 70s, 80s, yeah. Then
Ian Rush's and Souness's and stuff like that.
They were all right.
Did you see him defending Ronaldo today?
Who? Souness?
Yeah.
Get the views in, son. Get the views in.
Wankers.
Lewis Browning. Is it weird that I imagine James analysing my FIFA career mode team? Yes, it's weird, mate. But I love it when patrons suggest new tiers for Patreon. So there's going to be a FIFA tier coming soon where you can send in video footage of your FIFA team and James will analyse it for you.
FIFA tier. I've said this to a few people before. In fact, I think there was a conversation me and Nico had a couple of weeks ago. It's like, what would you do if like Planet FPL just died tomorrow? And one of the things, no, it's like I'd do like a Football Manager YouTube channel or something. I think I could, that's the sort of thing I could see me doing.
Is there enough views in that Football Manager shit?
I think you'd be amazed, yeah.
We'll start Twitch.
No, we can't do that as a spin-off, by the way, before anybody mentions that, because it's not the sort of game you can go, oh, here's what I did for an hour. Like, me on Football Manager for an hour, like, I've organised a training session.
Is that it?
You may, like, fuck. Yeah.
Really?
That game is, you can't have things in your, when I get to, like, 55 or something, and Harry's moved out, or maybe when Harry's a teenager or something, we can get Football Manager like back into my life if he wants to play it as well. Like you can't. There's times so you'd pick up that game. You'd be like, I'm gonna play a bit of Football Manager like 11 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday in the summer with no football on, and it'd be like 11 o'clock at night. Oh, one more game. 2 o'clock in the morning. Probably should think about going to bed. One more game. Like honestly, it could be the whole day gone, and you've done like August.
Okay. No, yeah, not for me either. Football Adam, settle an argument. Who has better finishing, Rashford or Bale? I don't know where this argument is.
Who has better finishing?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, Bale hit some pearlers, but then a lot of his goals were worldies. I don't know what he's like and just classic one-on-one.
For me, Gareth.
I would say so, but for then... Me.
He actually read some analysis about Rashford a little while ago. About he had a problem actually with his shooting technique, in terms of always trying to hit the thing with like too much power. But then I suppose if you have technique like the likes of a Rashford or Bale, you do like Gareth is a great example of someone who can use power and precision over short and longer distances. But my instinct would be to say, Bale, could Rashford score that Champions League final overhead kick?
Unlikely.
There we go, it's Bale.
David Hunter, a real shame that the Swedes didn't make it to the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, likes of Isak if he'd been fit, and Kulusevski.
Do you think they would have qualified if they reverted to a flat pack four?
Oh, wow, my God.
You ready for this, James? Gary Shepherd. It's not the worst IKEA I've ever heard.
Oh, my days.
Enough.
You lot. Do you know what? Me and Sige, after this pod, we're going to have a discussion about patron suspensions.
Yellow cards. which Premier League team has the worst backup goalkeeper? And why is it Villa?
Oh, I've got to be honest. I've not even seen the goals of Man United Villa last week. So I heard in the cup game, I've not seen a single goal from the Carabao Cup last midweek. Not a single goal except for the two I saw at the City Ground. Fuck gives a shit about that when my team's out. But I heard he threw a few in. Olsen. I heard he had a little bit of a nightmare. Fine. Yeah, Robin Olsen. Cool.
Right. Football Adam. Where will FPL Twitter go when Elon Musk destroys it from within?
Planet
FPL
Slack.
They're all
going
to join our Patreon and Slack. Yeah, mate. Yeah, cha-ching. Right, we've got some long
questions.
Have
you spoke to like Shamsel and Gijo? Good job on the old 5 minutes added on last week, by the way.
Nice, appreciate it.
What is that noise?
It's like a big motor or something. The whole building is vibrating.
It sounds like War of the Worlds. But being taken over by aliens. Have you spoke to Shamsel and Gijo yet about... That's really annoying, that noise started again. It's Shamsel and Gijo, have you spoke to them yet about starting our own version of Twitter?
Nah.
Well, maybe we should do that.
Harbour Boy says, this is a long question, James. I know you've had this question a million times and I understand if you're tired of answering it. Okay. But I am watching the Women's Rugby World Cup final right now. The England team is amazing, by the way. And the equivalent of VAR is so well executed. The dialogue between the ref, well, they've always had video assistants in rugby for a while, between the referee and the video official is there for everyone to hear, and the rationale and the decision is crystal clear. It always also doesn't take very long. Why on earth can't soccer implement the technology anywhere near as effectively? Refs have been mic'd up for a long time in rugby. You can hear them talking to the players and it makes such a big difference.
Listen, there's a lot we could take from rugby. By the way, I've opened a rugby channel following England's cricket team's magnificent achievement yesterday. I decided to celebrate by opening a rugby channel for those who wanted it. There's a lot we can take from rugby. Certainly respect of each other and officials and stuff. And yeah, that with the referees is great. It would take a lot of adaptation in our game. But I think if players knew that their words were going to get picked up, we could change this instantly in terms of how referees treated, etc. I think then you've got less pressure on referees, etc. There's so many positives towards that. However, I don't like VAR comparisons of rugby and football, because I just think you've got a sport that is very stop-start, in the sense that I could watch a Rugby World Cup game tomorrow and I can generally follow a lot of what's going on. But after time, if there's a penalty, I don't understand why. And I never feel like it's properly explained to me. Whereas in football, it's a lot more fast paced. The game is kind of go, 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 go constantly. So I'm not sure that we can use rugby comparisons for VAR to football. The whole stuff with the conversation, the refs and stuff. Yes, it's a little bit like people say tennis as well. Because of Hawkeye, right? So, yeah, you know, goal line technology and did the ball land in or out of court for tennis? Yeah, it's perfect comparison. That's kind of where the comparison of the two stops.
Gary Shepherd's jumped in. Just to actually stick up for VAR a second, That really isn't the case. You've heard the dialogue because you're watching it on television. People in the ground aren't hearing that. And just to give it context, that's a fair point, to give it context, if people think the VAR decisions in English football take a long time, they're nothing compared to a lot of the rugby ones. I will add, though, and usually there's a tries where they're checking if the ball's been grounded or not. Although people don't hear the dialogue in rugby stadiums, they do often see replays on the big screen many, many times. And last thing, regardless of the dialogue, rugby still gets the wrong decisions. And that's been a spotlight a lot at club level recently. I think it's pros and cons for both.
Okay, fine. So it's not perfect in rugby either then, right?
London Stadium on Saturday, for the first time ever, James, they show the replay of the foul for the penalty. I've never seen a replay for VAR in the ground ever. What's that about?
So
also shit, like it was such poor quality in the way that it was on the screen, and they showed it for like once and that's it. It's not like it wasn't even worth it, I would say, because it wasn't like freeze frame, it wasn't zoomed in.
And I'm sure there was still noise from like, oh, you got the ball. There was still
Everyone knew it was a foul.
Okay,
like, that was as because. Also, probably because it was Dawson, we were like, yeah, you catch him anyway.
When VAR overturns a decision,
yeah,
it should be shown on a screen in a stadium.
Is that the rule?
Once the decision is made, yes.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's the first time I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times at Tottenham.
Okay.
Doesn't happen often. In fact, I don't think it's consistent, just reflecting on it, actually. But yeah, if there's a VAR overturn, it should be shown on the screens. But I think they're selective about it.
Stupid. Enough. David Hunter, if the ban is lifted, I'm worried about this vibration.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone can pick it up on the audio. I'm a little bit worried that
it's like there's a, like an earth. There could be an earthquake or something major happening outside, but we're oblivious to it. I'm not sure. David Hunter.
It's like the end of the world. It's only the fucking World Cup.
Yellow card to David Hunter, James. If the ban is lifted, will Russia do well at the next World Cup if they can find a decent perestroikas?
Next question.
Tim Kresner. Should managers stop spitting on the touchline? I'm looking at you, Mr. Guardiola.
He's pretty bad for it, yeah. I noticed that on... I did a Talking Tactics last week on what City did against Fulham for the advanced tiers. And originally I was going to leave this clip in where after the penalty that Fulham got on Cancelo's red card, they kept showing him like, on the bench and stuff because I wanted to show that he wasn't on the touchline giving out loads of instructions and stuff. But he did spend half of it spitting.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Yeah. Shouldn't need to do it. John Jacobson, should Gerrard go back and take the Rangers job?
Van Bronckhorst, he's in major trouble.
He's not been sacked though, is he?
No, they lost at St Johnstone last week, and I think they drew at St Mirren, I want to say, this week or something.
Like 9-10
which, to be honest, sorry if you support one of those two teams, but is at best like drawing with a League One team and losing to a League One team.
Jonathan Nagy says, James, what do your mum and dad do for a living, and was your mum as understanding as Planet FPL wifey about Spurs? Well, in fact, she goes to the game.
Well, she's still going, so...
it's a bit of a help that she goes, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I don't know why she does keep going. She could have a few hours off from my father. We was having a right laugh, actually, when I got home. Because yesterday we went round to the father-in-law, as I said to you, just moved house.
Mm.
We all went round there and kind of, housewarming party slash Harry's birthday was obviously on Thursday.
This is after the game or before the game?
No, this is yesterday. Yesterday. Mum and dad were meant to come, but they weren't feeling great. So when I got to the ground on Saturday, Mum said, I'm probably not going to come tomorrow. I don't feel great. And Dad said he hadn't been feeling well since he got back from Nottingham. I'm absolutely fine, by the way. Okay, fine, old people. And we was joking on Saturday night when I got home, like how relieved for my mum. Because my mum proper gave me a big hug and a high five behind my dad's back when the winner went in. My mum's like late 60s. She's not going to be jumping about and stuff. I thought, that's nice. That's unusual. And it dawned on me when I got home, I was discussing this with Katie. She must have been so fucking relieved that she wasn't going to have to listen to my dad moaning for 6 fucking weeks about Tottenham's last result. So, yes, my mum's far more understanding. What do they do for a living? My dad is still a painter and decorator. My mum is now retired, worked at the school that I went to when I was a kid.
Nice.
Not as a teacher, like office job and shit.
Admin.
Yeah.
JC, no, sorry, I've missed Jake's question. Seen a few people compare Newcastle to Klopp's Liverpool in the early phases. Is that a fair comparison?
Say that again.
Newcastle right now.
Yeah. Same as Klopp's.
Early Liverpool.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, the only comparison you could have on there in terms of high pressing and intensity, that would be it. But think back to Klopp and the first year under him. I mean, they had some fucking disastrous results and some crazy ones. Mm. And, you know, I'm thinking about getting beat at Hull and beating Norwich 5-4 and some. They couldn't stop conceding goals to start with and stuff. Whereas Newcastle have obviously been very strong defensively. So, I mean, the only comparison there could be off the ball stuff. But then it is very different because Newcastle have got a solid base, what they're doing defensively. And to be fair, Newcastle have stronger defensive personnel now than what Klopp inherited at Liverpool.
Yeah. JC, Leicester to make a push for the Europa League spots in the second half of the season. The World Cup has come at the worst time for them. I mean, definitely form horse at the moment alongside Newcastle and obviously Arsenal and what have you. They're doing well.
It's probably going to be a take too much because you need to be top six, really. Mm. Obviously, the Carabao Cup winners get the Conference League spot and FA Cup winners get the Europa League spot, which quite often does end up being teams that finish in the top six. Therefore, it goes to like seventh in the league. But it could be that it's only like fifth in the league, right? So, interestingly, I was playing around with a planner earlier and I was thinking, actually, I'll tell you what, That Carabao Cup has really opened up for Leicester, particularly because City and Liverpool are drawing each other. You've got Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, West Ham all out. Crystal Palace are out. Villa are out. Newcastle obviously got Bournemouth at home, and it would come as no surprise if Newcastle were to go and win that trophy. You're going to lose one of City or Liverpool. Then you've got Newcastle, and Manchester United are still in there as well. Other than that, Leicester would really fancy their chances. They've got a decent draw. And that might be something to bear in mind once you get around kind of that period between. So the semi-final first and second legs are both played between game week 21 and 22. The final's game week 25. It might be worth bearing in mind for Leicester a little bit if they continue. I could see them in their case with their league position. They really put the eggs in to try and win it. Mm. Is what, rather than the others, okay, yeah, we'll get along, we'll do fine in it. Leicester might prioritise it a little bit.
Jarvo, how shocking has West Ham's season been so far in the Premier League? Just check the league and we're 1 point ahead of Forest, who have been the basement boys for most of the season. So, think about the team, right? Fabianski's been all right this season. And you're right to highlight in brackets in the Premier League. Fine, we went out of the Carabao Cup. Everybody went out of the Carabao Cup. So we can just disregard that. We won every game in the Europa League and with a largely rotated team for most of the Thursdays. So can't argue with that as well. And it's still a very winnable competition for us. The problem in the league is Fabi's had a good season, right? Penalty saves, and he's generally been very reliable. He's not made many mistakes. You get to that certain age where you think he might be on his way out, but he hasn't. Creswell hasn't had a good season, but he keeps getting played week in, week out, even though we have a potential replacement in Emerson, or you can even play Ben Johnson on that side. Creswell used to come and support whoever's playing left-sided there, Fornals or Ben Rama, and get crosses into the ball and push up high. He just doesn't seem to want to push up high anymore. Zouma's been reliable, but whoever his partner has been shocking. Kera has come in and made mistakes constantly and consistently. And why he's now being pushed out to right back, I have no idea. He struggled the week before last week against Palace. Struggled again against Harvey Barnes this week. And yet Moyes just keeps flogging him. Aguerd obviously got injured. Had he been fit, maybe we'd have had a bit more stability in defence. Rice still is man of the match in most games when we lose because he just is head and shoulders above everybody else. I can't fault Fabianski and I can't fault Rice. Socek doesn't do anything particularly well. And even the one thing that he used to do particularly well, which is score goals and intercept pieces, he's not getting into the box anymore or making those runs. But he can't pass a football. And so often we try and play 30, 40-yard balls through the lines and they fail because they're shit, because those two are not Kevin De Bruyne and they can't play those kind of passes. Bowen's been off it all season. Paqueta playing in the hole, hasn't really lived up to expectations yet at all. Benrahma's been a highlight. Fornals, when he's played, has been all right. He's done well in Europe as well. Scamacca's finding his feet in the league. I think if you looked at it, whoever's partnered Zuma, Creswell, Socek, Bowen have all just been off it. And Antonio's been a bit pony this season as well. And when you take out that many players, it's just not good enough. We've had Flynn Downs has come in and he's played well in a lot of games. He's lacked in some, but generally he's obviously still young and finding his feet. He's done well. Scamacca, again, like if we play to his strengths, his hold-up play and bringing other players into the game is very good. Had Corne been fit, I think him as a goal-scoring, attacking threat later in games would have been good. Had Aguerd been fit, it would have been good. But you can criticise Moyes for stubbornness because, again, 70 minutes, he made one change, so check for Fornals. And it was clear that we weren't breaking through. Like, Antonio wasn't even in the squad. I don't know what's up with him. I think he was sick or whatever. But change it up, mix it up, try and move to three at the back. Just show a bit of flexibility.
I just felt in Antonio was ill, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Did he record the podcast with Wilson
Zoom.
In purpose?
Zoom.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I don't... I think... Look, there is options there for Moyes and there's opportunity to... And there's good players in the squad. We're just not clicking. But then there's so many games that we could have, should have, maybe got something out of, right? We could have beaten Forest. We could have got something away at Man United. We could have got something away at Liverpool. Like, there's games where we've had opportunities and had we put goals in, we would have been better. It's like I think to myself most weeks, right? We could be as good as City if we just get a bit better at passing, tackling, shooting, running, throw-ins, corners, and a bit of goalkeeping. Anything else I've missed that we need to get better at?
No, lots. I think the problem... There's two problems now where you've got a change amongst, a smaller element, but you know I've even seen it at the weekend for a few patrons and stuff who would like to see change and that now. There's two issues. One is, I think we spoke on the pod earlier about that attacking four that you have, Bowen, Paqueta, Benrahma, Scamacca, and looking at that and going, we should be getting a lot more out of this. And the fear, I think, is growing that you are always so difficult to play against, so difficult to beat, but actually, if you let these guys off a little bit more, and you bring someone in who, let's say, is more of a technical attacking coach, if you will, who will allow them and find ways that they can express themselves more, that's becoming an element of conversation. The second is the points this year, which I spoke about in Tottenham last week, but now looks even worse after the weekend. You've now lost half of your Premier League games in this year. Mm-hmm. You have less points this calendar year than Brentford, Crystal Palace, and an Aston Villa team that's just sacked their manager. You have only the worst performing team who have been a constant in the Premier League this year is Southampton. You have only 8 more points than them. Everton, what did we say? 1.03 points per game, Frank Lampard. So you've only taken 5 more points than Everton in 2022.
Yeah, and it's the difficulty is if Moyes doesn't adapt, then yeah, he's got to go. He's got to show that he's adaptable, flexible, and can find a different way of getting something out of this team. Because you can't keep doing the same thing again and again and expect different results. Can't blame the board, right? I think our transfer window was good. I think we bought well and we added in the right areas of the squad. Sometimes it can be difficult gelling a lot of new players at one time, which we've seen before when Pellegrini joined, we signed a lot of players. Yeah,
I don't think change is right. But what I would say is, like, if you get beat Arsenal, which can be expected, obviously, at the moment, that's not you, that's anybody. But then if you lose to Brentford as well, then you really are looking at a whole calendar year and going, oh my God, we've got 39 points from like 36 games. And that cannot be good enough for a team. This time last year, we generally were going, fucking could finish top four here.
Yeah.
So it's a big drop off, yeah, mate.
But it's not a lack of effort. I think the players are still playing for Moyes. They're still putting a shift in. It's a lack of quality on the basics, like passing's just not good enough.
But then who's that down to?
There's, I think it's a bit of a confidence thing, you know, something not quite right with just their body language. Yeah, if Moyes doesn't adapt, then I can understand. And the frustrating thing with him is he keeps playing players who are not in good form when he's got alternatives. Like, give some of the others a chance. But we shall see. Adam English, if you picked 10 patrons and put them on VAR duty for a Premier League set of games, would we all have better weekends? I don't...
Yeah, as long as we didn't pick any of the Arsenal fans. And I mean that seriously as well.
Why?
Because to think the whole world's against them, just fucking enjoy your football team.
Well, which VAR was against them?
None. And I mean, they got away with one on Saturday as well, to be honest, against Wolves. It's the most football fans admittedly think the world's against them. But yeah, as long as I can handpick who those 10 are, yeah.
Possibly.
It'd probably be, I'm not going to lie, probably be patrons who support teams that are not in the Premier League.
Nice. Sam O'Sullivan, Villa collected 7 yellow cards at Brighton on Sunday. What is the record for the most yellows in one game?
It's got to be Tottenham in the Battle of the Bridge.
I think it's Tottenham v Chelsea.
Someone said that.
What, yeah, Gary Mantle.
Because Mantle, yeah.
Nine, I think.
I don't think anyone's taught that.
Jarvo's linked in a video. Any of the patrons, you can go and have a look in the podcast.
What, from the Battle of the Bridge?
No, 10 red cards shown in turbulent Argentine Football Cup.
Oh, yeah, Argentine, I heard about this. I think Gary had posted that a week or so ago as well. It was like, yeah, it's 10 red cards or something ridiculous. But they weren't all players.
How can Lampard get the best out of Mope, says John Jakobsen?
Can't sell him.
Or was it a panic buy destined for failure?
I really think, and a few Everton fans shot me down for this, but I really think they was getting linked with Che Adams. And I really think he would have been a really suitable player for them.
Better.
Really do. It's just wrong person, wrong time and stuff. And I think he's a player who suffers with confidence in front of goal. We knew that from Brighton anyway, in a team that did heavily dominate the ball. Now you're playing in a team that often doesn't see any of the ball. Just bad fit. Bad fit. I don't know if they can buy another forward. Listen, I think if Dominic Calvert-Lewin was to be fully fit for the rest of the season, they'll be fine. Won't have too many issues. When I say fine, I don't mean they're going to fucking finish 9th, 10th, but they won't go down. They're clearly in trouble. If you're going, what, 5 of the last 6 games, I haven't scored. You're not giving yourself much of a chance. And you don't watch games like that against Leicester. You could have watched them all day long and they wouldn't have scored. Now, admittedly, loads of other teams have struggled against Leicester recently, right? But it doesn't sound like they were particularly close to notching at the weekend either. Yeah, they've got to find a solution to that. I mean, Neil Maupay is not it. If Neil Maupay played up front with Dominic Calvert-Lewin and they played 4-4-2, then would he get a few returns and stuff? Yeah, sure. But a lone forward role for him in that team and that style, no.
Harry G, maybe one for a pod closer to the restart, but he'd like a deep dive into the cheapo midfielders. He's linked in your tweet, you know, all the ones we talked about on the pod earlier today, the 4.4, 4.5.
That's basically it. It's randomly during the conversation of Bournemouth and Everton, ironically, I think. Yeah.
Rob Pick, Piers Morgan or Matt Hancock, in whichever context you prefer.
One, I'm not watching I'm a Celeb.
Oh, is he on I'm a Celeb? Yeah. I didn't understand that.
The wife's watching it, so I was hearing shit at the birthday yesterday. Oh, he's all right, actually. He's a little scummy bastard, really, isn't he? And he looks like Dan Cox. Sorry, Dan. Dan can't hear this anyway. I mean, that just doesn't help Ronaldo either, right? Who he's chosen to do the interview with. That fucking bell end. Morgan, yeah. Seriously.
He's done it once before with Morgan, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's a clip that's circulating today about, it's like about 12 seconds long of the two of them. Like, Ronaldo's like, oh, I can see you've got good abs, really, and stuff. This is legit. And Morgan's like, oh, you don't look too bad yourself. And it's proper finger in the back of your throat stuff.
FPL buddy, this is not an FPL question, but I was wondering how the rest of the company feels about that there is a guy in the office making football videos and podcasts. If everyone playing FPL, or are they making... what does a beautiful man do in our office? Good luck in the World Cup.
What did they think of the podcast?
Well, Serge? You've got to remember that I would say 50%, probably more, don't give a shit about football anyway.
Yeah.
So who cares? We think the whole world cares, but there's plenty that don't.
We just don't understand those that don't care.
I was talking to Joel earlier and he's like, what are you doing in the World Cup? I was like, we've got to do some live streams and all of that kind of stuff. And he's like, oh, that'd be all right for a month. I was like, yeah. But I think anybody should understand that it's cool for a little while. When you do it every day as a job, it's not the same. It's not like just watching football for fun. It's not the same. It's like you have steak and chips, right? What a nice, lovely meal. Steak and chips with a bit of peppercorn sauce. But if you had to eat it every day, every day, every day, every day, it stops being steak and chips with peppercorn sauce. It does start becoming like work, and then you've got to think about, like, you watch games that
you stop trying to ruin football for me?
Nah, but you know, some people won't. You're like, all right, fine, cool, you can do that. But you got to watch all of Bournemouth versus, and this is no disrespect, but I don't know, you've got to watch Bournemouth Everton tonight, and then tomorrow you got to watch Aston Villa versus Crystal Palace. They're like, oh, fuck, do I? I'd rather hang out with my family, please. Thank you very much. That's the thing.
But then, I've said this before, like, I had a really bad thing going on during COVID where I was like, I have to watch every game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I knew that there were people who would be listening who would watch every game, right?
Yeah.
So now it probably doesn't feel like that so much. So no, I wouldn't make that choice. Remember, it's all choice, right? Mm. It's all choice. I reckon I could blag the Monday podcast and watch just Tottenham at the weekend, and most people wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I would just source my information. I'd have to source what I've seen better elsewhere. But then I do that for the games that I don't watch, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's true.
If for whatever reason I can't watch games, I won't watch games. I don't feel like I have to watch every game that's on the TV. I probably will, but I don't feel I have to.
No. The other thing is, like, obviously when we have our company catch-ups and that, I'll try and obviously let them know what's happening. And I think one of the key indicators with it is, like, growth in patrons. I think when people realise, oh, wow, hang on, there's, like, 650 people that want to pay a monthly contribution to listen to the content. It can't just be for shits and giggles. They must be getting some value out of it. So, yeah. Anyway, Tim Kresner says, do you think goals and score predictor should stop over the World Cup to give people some time off?
Oh, that's going to be the goals comps. Oh, yeah. We're not doing like Welsh games and shit, are we? I know a few people have said that.
Why
don't we just set it up for like, how many group games are there in the World Cup in each day? It's 16. Can we not just do it on the World Cup games?
Okay. I think it'll be quite hard. No one's going to have a clue about some of these teams, but...
What, as opposed to like doing, someone suggested, I think it was Dan, was saying, oh yeah, stick the Welsh games in, the Welsh games are going on. Like, not sure about that. Can we like pick games from the World Cup groups or something like that? I don't know if it's viable. And then the last 16 starts at a weekend and the quarterfinals is at a weekend. Surely we can do, by the time the quarterfinals, I think the Football League's starting up again and stuff. So... I would have thought for most people it would be more interesting if we stick with the World Cup games, if we can. There you go.
Gary Mantle. Okay, we're into Ronaldo territory.
I'm not slagging off the Welsh football, by the way. I'm just slagging off.
We can't predict it.
I'm just slagging off Welsh football.
I wouldn't actually mind Ronaldo at Chelsea for 6 months. He'd be fired up, and the way the draw has gone in the Champions League, anyone that gets through the next round has a chance of making the final. My question is, have I gone completely nuts? Gary wants him at Chelsea.
Okay, so this is interesting. So that Gary
knows... There's some replies to this one. Let's have a look.
Okay, well, while you look through the replies, I'll give my opinion. So I spoke on the main pod earlier about Aubameyang, right? Aubameyang and Ronaldo are in the same squad.
Have you learned anything from Aubameyang?
Well, there you go, right. So here's probably where Gary's at, and... There is certainly a school of thought at the moment, and it's been this way at Chelsea for a couple of years, actually, even going back to Tuchel last year and Lukaku's struggles, right? Find a goal scorer. Remember when they bought Lukaku and we said, look, if he doesn't fire, they can't win the league. If he does fire, they can, right? Because that's what this team is missing, is someone who's going to get 25 goals or so. You could make a case to say that Ronaldo might get more goal scoring chances at Chelsea, remarkably, than at Manchester United. The Chelsea fans are sick of probably watching misfiring fucking forwards in front of goal and thinking, well, I know he'll finish them. And who's to argue, right? If the service is there, he'll still finish chances, no doubt. The problem is, Gary, where I think this contradicts a little bit, and understand, oh, it's a fix for 6 months, right? All you're doing, even if it worked, all you're doing is delaying what is needed for Potter, which is time to implement his methods and get it in the direction where it's going. And you put Ronaldo in that football club, it probably delays him by more than 6 months, I would suggest. And I think even if you had short-term success where it helped you in some way this year because he scored more goals, and I'm sure he would score more goals than Aubameyang, for example, I think it would be to the detriment massively. And I cannot believe, honestly, that any fucking football club would want to go anywhere near him.
Sam O'Sullivan, should Manchester United terminate his contract immediately after the interview clips were released last night? It was like a previous legendary manager would have kicked him out already.
I'd be very. If I was Manchester United right now, honestly, I think he's such a see you next Tuesday. I'd be investigating if he's in breach of contract rather than terminating it and see if they can get him out without no payoff.
That's what I think he means with termination for.
They should be looking through that carefully. Considering, like, see if they can do it.
He's obviously been suspended for one game already, internal suspension after he left early from the ground.
I cannot believe that any Manchester United fan would want him to stay there.
Agreed.
If people do, then you've got to be like as much into Ronaldo as you are into your football club. And Cristiano Ronaldo, I don't care how many social media followers he's got or whatever, right? When Cristiano Ronaldo's gone, Manchester United will still be there. Manchester United was there long before him. Like all this, people was, you know, Ronaldo's bigger than United. Shut up, man. Like, honestly, as much as we joke about Barcelona, Messi's not bigger than Barcelona. Like, it's nonsense talk.
Harry G, sorry to add to the Ronaldo questions, but it is the last one, so it's all good, mate. If you remove the manager criticism, very poor taste, does he have a point? United are the biggest club in the world and facilities clearly being disregarded. Does it need someone to come out and call it out?
Yeah, I said that earlier today. But yeah, he would get a lot more out of that if afterwards he's left the club, he's done his lap of honour after his last game, thanks, everyone shake hands, all good, and he comes out afterwards and goes, by the way, they need to fucking sort themselves out. Great. Now, timing of it again. Weird. Mm. Weird little man.
FPL Mango. If West Ham kicked off every game with a 1-0 lead, where would they finish in the league?
Above Manchester United.
Is the implication that we're all right when we're in front?
You're a very difficult team to play against. I don't think that shows.
We are. We're making more mistakes now. You're a difficult team to beat. We're making a lot more sloppy mistakes now, but I think that's...
You won't go to Arsenal. It's the same thing, right? When that game happens on Boxing Day, you're not going to go to Arsenal and get beat 4-5-0. No chance.
Yeah, I know, because their team won't be there. Fingers crossed. How many more World Cup wins will it take for James to admit that cricket is the superior sport? A World Cup win doesn't make something a superior sport, but England are on fire.
Also, it's so much far fucking superior that the first person in the cricket chat who put world champions or champions of the world was me. Me. James, so, like, how much are you into it? I literally turned it on because I could see on the chat we was about to win it, right? Let me put it on for 5 minutes. Actually, to be honest, if it had been a more sensible time of day and stuff, then I probably, a T20 final, I probably would have watched it, in fairness. Because I really enjoyed the 50 final against New Zealand. Was it last year or the year before? But superior sport, stop it, mate.
Ian Parrin.
It's baseball for people without an accent.
Which version of fantasy is best suited to tournament football? If you could pick and choose the best parts from FPL, Sky, Telegraph, Fan Team to create a hybrid, what would they be? I don't do Fan Team or Telegraph.
I can't answer that because literally, other than the Sky game, I have no idea what any other game is doing right now.
I don't know how
Gaffer works.
I've
not even looked at the FIFA game yet. Yeah. Not close.
But I mean, if you could choose, what would be the ideal? I love the way the Champions League works. Champions League fantasy with the rounds and that. I think generally all right. I like Sky. If I could pick the best bit of Sky, it'd be the prize. at the end. Like all fantasy games, you definitely have a fucking cash prize.
This is sure, 10 grand, right? 10 grand.
Yeah.
This is 10 grand for manager of the month, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm looking forward to that pod on Wednesday, actually.
Do some research.
No clue. And no preference. I always say this. Like, oh, don't you wish Sky was like this of FPL or FPL was like this of Sky? I just go, look, that game's like that and I play it that way and that game's like this and I play it that way. Sometimes I think, like, I'd really like to play Telegraph or I'd like to play Dream Team in all honesty because I'd like to take their fucking money as well. And I realise it's another one that's probably quite winnable. But I ain't got the time to play all these different games. It's too much, I think. It's too much.
Right. Chris Tellers, a question for Suj. If you've been to India, what's your go-to street food? And given everything you know about James, what do you think he would enjoy? So I've been to India.
Leaving.
But as a general rule,
jokes.
You don't eat the street food because we get scared that you're going to get the shits from street food. That's the like generally, oh, don't eat things from the street.
It's never stopped me outside a football stadium, mate.
Yeah, but you still get the shits from that sometimes. Yeah, so there isn't a lot of choice. So there's a couple of things you can get on the street, James, that I think you would enjoy, though.
Okay.
Coconut. They just chop the top off from Singha Store and you can drink that.
I don't like coconut.
Right.
I'm really not big on it at all.
Have you ever had sugarcane juice?
Whenever you say, oh, I'm going to get that coconut drink, I always think, what the fuck do you want to drink that for? It's horrible.
Okay, sugarcane juice?
Just sounds like sugar in the juice,
it's
right?
It's just sweet, yeah.
Fine.
It'll do. I think James will manage that. Anything else might have a little bit more, too much spice for James.
I just go easy on that.
Right. Jarvo's got the last question of the show. If you could each only go to Tottenham and West Ham's home stadiums respectively, do we have to? And only one away stadium for the rest of your lives, which away stadium would you choose? Barnet.
Are you playing League Two, non-league football now, are you?
Yeah. I'll just go to... It's close. It's easy to get to park at my father-in-law's. I'd pick somewhere close. I wouldn't, like... Think, oh, go to an amazing stadium. I'd go to your place at the Emirates. No. Did you get the train? You got a bus, didn't you? Because they had the Rugby League World Cup semi-final at the Emirates on Saturday. I don't know if it was 2 or 2.30 kickoff. So all trains, I got off at Highbury and Islington to go to Stratford. There was loads of rugby fans going to the Emirates for the Rugby League World Cup semi. I chatted to a guy there. I was like, oh, we're going to win. He goes, we've got Western Samoa. It's all right. We put 60 points past them in the group stages. They fucking beat us. I think they have extra time. It's golden points. So golden point.
Well, England lost to Western
England
Samoa.
England lost to Western Samoa in the semis of the Rugby League.
What?
And then I was chatting. Then I was on the train.
I swear it was just like England, New Zealand, Australia. Yeah, isn't that what it is?
Yeah, pretty much. And then on the train back, I was getting the Piccadilly line to Oakwood. Some of the listeners won't know what I'm talking about, but there's a couple of older guys there, proper pissed, from Wigan. And they said to this one guy, does this line go to King's Cross? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how many stops to King's Cross? And the guy's like, 5 stops. And this guy clearly didn't want to speak to him because he was just concerned that they were pretty shit-faced. And the train moved and it went one stop. These guys there. I was like, I'm going to have to say something. I was like, lads, are you going to King's Cross? They were like, yeah. I was like, you need to get off this train and go southbound, mate, because this is going northbound and you're going to end up in fucking Cock Foster's, which is about 45 minutes from King's Cross. And they did get off, but they didn't seem very happy about the fact that England lost the Rugby World Cup semi-final to Samoa.
We didn't answer the question, though, did we? Yeah, ideally it would be somewhere fairly close, wouldn't it?
I'll take your place. I've not been yet, but I hear they sell Beavertown. Is it Beavertown or Brewdog or whatever
I just wouldn't look at the Emirates or Stamford Bridge or the Athletic Stadium and go there and see all your shit every week. I'm going to say...
You don't have to go there every week. It just says that's the only one you're ever allowed to go to. You've got to say the Emirates for the derby, surely.
No. Well, yeah, because that's such an enjoyable experience every time I go, isn't it? I'm going to say, for ease, I'm going to say the King Power.
Okay.
It's a fucking hour on a train, isn't it?
Lovely jubbly. Our patrons, thank you for your questions. We'll be back at you next week. Rest of this week, tomorrow, you have... What do they have to look forward to, mate?
On Patreon?
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Origins of the World Cup and the first tournament in 1930. Wednesday is A to Z World Cup quiz. Thursday is... I can't fucking remember that far in the schedule now. What are we doing Thursday on Patreon?
Your chat to pull me in.
Paul Meehan is joining me to chat Canada. I'm really looking forward to speaking to Paul, actually. He's a lovely bloke. And Friday, we're going to do this narration of the 2002 World Cup, which I told Nico about this morning, and I think he wanted to fucking kill me, but we're going to try it anyway.
Nice. Sounds good. Patrons, stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.